Good day, AF Nation. Welcome back to another episode of Arena Football Radio's AF Nation podcast. I'm your host, Chris Hopkins, joined today by Liz Wendt and Mikey Wansifer. Thank you for joining us today. Your one stop for all conference championship news and related tidbits that we'll be going into this weekend. We are coming out of the quarterfinals from last week. Go over some of those results. Some great finishes in both the American and National Conference. The first game of last week was the rematch, the rematch of Cleveland and Philadelphia. Cleveland came out of that game with another last-second victory, winning on a game-winning field goal, 39-37. Then you had the most dominant performance of the weekend as San Jose knocked off Spokane, 55-28. And then that was followed by Orlando taking down Pittsburgh and Tommy Grady, 56-48. And then Arizona surviving thanks to a last-second interception by Marquise Floyd against Portland, 52-48. So I'm going to bring Mikey and Liz back here, go over some analysis from the quarterfinal games, some big plays that they saw, some big players that they saw. Mikey, let's start off with the Cleveland-Philadelphia game. What'd you take away from that game? What was obviously the field goal at the end was the big play. Shane Austin didn't really play too well, but what were some takeaways that you had from the Philly Cleveland game?
Yeah, well, Shane Austin just cannot play that poorly and advance any further. I mean, to have 5 interceptions in that game, I was very surprised to see that. I mean, he threw only 15 interceptions the entire season, so to see him throw 5 in one game was just amazing. You do have to give credit to Rayshon Kaiser, who maybe if I had to pick one, the best performer, even though they lost, to have 4 interceptions, the most ever in the AFL postseason, is just pretty
ridiculous. I felt so bad for Kaiser at the end of that game, because what else can he do?
He pretty much picked off anything that was thrown in his direction.
If not picked it off, he defended it.
Yeah. He had a bunch of pass breakups as well, so just you got a feel for him that Philadelphia lost that game. And once again, they lose for the 3rd time in the season on the last play of the game against Cleveland, which they've won on the last play of the game 5 times this season, which is just a ridiculous number.
I don't see Clint Ozeles soundly sleeping for a couple weeks. This one's going to bother him.
They should have won maybe every game that they played against Cleveland, and they lost all of them, so it's something that's pretty heartbreaking for them, but just really, there's nothing more they could have done. Picking off Shane Austin 5 times, and if you told Dozell that they were going to pick him off 5 times, he probably would have said they were going to win that game every time. But
and you tell that to any coach in any league.
5 interceptions is just such a high number.
What more can you ask for
especially
from
your
defense?
Especially for an elite quarterback like Shane Austin, that was just very surprising.
So obviously the Philadelphia defense played an amazing game. Like that could be also partly the Cleveland offense just not being able to step up. So how did Cleveland find a way to win this game? Was it their defensive play, or what was the reason that they were able to come away with a victory in this game?
Well, I certainly think it was just staying in it with their defense. Just they had to make up for Mario Norman, of course. Yep. He signed with the Ravens, so just I'm having to sort of make up for that. And they, of course, got Dominique Jones, so they still have a tremendous secondary, even without him. But I think it was about the defense. I mean, 39-37, I think it's a pretty low-scoring game for what everyone expected. Even the broadcasters in that game were sort of saying that they thought it was going to be a really high-scoring game back and forth, but that wasn't the case. So it was a pretty low-scoring game, and I think with Austin not being at his best, that kind of helped them being low-scoring. So I think that is something to look forward to just the rest of the postseason for them against Orlando. I think it is going to be a lot about their defense when Shane Austin can't get it going.
Moving forward with Philadelphia, do you see Rodabaugh sticking around there as the starting quarterback? Because obviously, they've been to the last 2 Arena Bowls, and he hasn't been able to come through for them on those games. And then in this game, the defense gives him a gift by picking off Austin 5 times. But Rodabaugh was only able to complete under 50% of his passes, had an interception. What are your thoughts on Rodabaugh at this point, coming out of that game?
Well, I think he is. In the past, he was an elite quarterback, and this season was just a major disappointment for him. And I think he showed some flashes of potential. He had some great games this season, but he had more games like he had this weekend where, just like you said, he didn't even complete half of his passes. It was just all over the place. And I think it is something they'll have to assess if he is still going to be their quarterback. But I think he's someone that kind of fits there. He's been there a while now. He's won a lot there, so he'll probably get another chance. But certainly I don't think they're going to – he's going to have definitely a much shorter leash from this point on.
Shorter leash, okay. All right. Yeah, definitely was three straight last-second finishes for Cleveland, knocking off Philadelphia. Team of destiny for sure, Believeland. Moving on, the second game on last Saturday was San Jose Spokane in the National Conference. You had San Jose, again, knocking off Spokane 55-28. What did you guys see in terms of, you know, big players coming out of that game? Nathan Stanley, again, not looking like a rookie, and just the San Jose defense always coming in. So what did you guys see in that game?
I really think that it goes over to the defense. I think Jason Stewart did amazingly. He had 3.5 sacks on Eric Meyer, which that's only half of what Eric Meyer had for sacks total. That was a bad game for him, but
especially a scrambling quarterback like Meyer, so it's always impressive to be able to take him down.
Yeah, I also think the whole defense did really awesome for the Sabercats because they kept Spokane scoreless for two full quarters, and I think that the Sabercats just outplayed them, plainly.
Dominique Curry had another great game, 3 receptions, 2 touchdowns, and also a couple tackles on defense. He's been a great all-around playmaker for San Jose this season as a rookie. And Mikey, going on to the Orlando-Pittsburgh game, that was another close game. What did you see coming out of that game? To be honest, I wasn't expecting Orlando to put up that many points against Pittsburgh, and kind of Orlando being able to slow down Tommy Grady, so to speak. So outside of Bernard Morris, who's arguably been the hottest quarterback in the league, who are some of the top playmakers coming out of the Orlando-Pittsburgh game?
Well, actually, I'm going to go from a non-player here. You got to give Coach Keefe a lot of credit for that onside kick decision. I think it was pretty smart, just with them up 8 when it was 56-48, just to decide to do the onside kick. Because if you think about it, say they don't get the onside kick, then Pittsburgh would still have to go for 2, so it was kind of a nice strategic idea.
Yeah, how much time was left when he did that onside kick? It was under 2 minutes, right?
Yeah, I think it was like a minute, 30 seconds, probably around there. Okay. So it was pretty strategic just to do that, and just it took a lot of guts, and it ended up paying off. And just obviously with the Arena Football League, it's all about possession, so just getting that ball back just completely sealed it in for them.
Field position isn't that big of a deal in Arena.
Yeah, exactly. So even if Pittsburgh did get the ball, they still would have had to score and get the 2-point conversion. So I think it was a pretty smart call. And even aside from Bernard Morris, Greg Carr was terrific in his first game. I got to talk to him a couple days ago, and he even told me he didn't really think of it like a playoff game. He was just going to be really calm and just come out freely. And he had 4 touchdowns, and he's been so great this season as a rookie. And even though we're trying to not talk about Bernard Morris because it's so obvious, I think we do still have to mention he had 8 touchdowns, 4 rushing touchdowns, which is a tying a playoff record. So, I mean, he's just absolutely terrific since he only played 9 games in the regular season, just because he wasn't even really planning on playing this season, but he came out of retirement, played, and it's just been absolutely terrific, and Orlando definitely wouldn't be here without him.
And another year and another somewhat failed season for Tommy Grady, not being able to find too much success in the playoffs. He didn't make it last year at Utah, and then his MVP 2012 season fell to Arizona in the conference championships.
Yeah, I don't think there's really more that he could have done this season. He was terrific. He's absolutely an MVP candidate. I mean, they lost to a good team in Orlando, and I think being on the road, it was, as much as we really thought Pittsburgh was going to win as they were on a 12-game win streak and had just such a successful season. They were still playing on the road against a great Orlando team, and even look for Orlando to still be competitive this week as well. I mean, the record's not really indicative of how good they are, because as I was looking up some stats of them, with Bernard Morris at quarterback, including the postseason, they're 7-3, so yeah, they're much better than the record indicates with Bernard Morris at quarterback.
And down the stretch, it was easy. You didn't want to nitpick too much with Pittsburgh, but they definitely showed some signs of slowing down in the midst of that 12-game winning streak. I mean, they only came out of their game against New Orleans on July 7th, winning by 5 points. And then the next week against Iowa, they only won by 3 points. And those are less formidable opponents. I mean, granted, they still won to continue their winning streak, but
yeah, they
not as dominant as somebody would like when going into the playoffs.
Yeah, they were showing they were vulnerable down the stretch.
Yeah.
There were some concerns, and maybe it kind of got them in their heads a little bit that they were going against, just like you said, some teams that clearly they should have beat by more of them, and they were having a lot of close games where they were just getting by. I mean, that 12-game winning streak sounds great, but a lot of those games they nearly lost and had poor effort, so it wasn't completely a shock to see Orlando win, but I think most people definitely thought Pittsburgh was going to get past them.
Okay. And then the last game of the quarterfinal round, it was the back-to-back defending Arena Bowl champion Arizona Rattlers going up against the newbies on the block, the expansion Portland Thunder. Thunder took them to the wire on that one. I mean, it's easy to look at the Portland record and underassume how they were going to play in that game, but they're a scrappy team. Even with the loss of Varmus Soni and Jake McDonough, Soni went out with an injury. McDonough went to the league, to the NFL. I mean, they gave it to Arizona, and if it wasn't for a last-second interception by Marquise Floyd off a bad pass by Kyle Rowley, Portland could have done something. I mean, they had the ball right when they wanted. I mean, Coach Guy on Arizona's last possession was trying to stop from scoring because they're in the red zone, but they scored with 25 seconds left on the clock. Portland still had 3 timeouts, so Portland was in a great position to win that game. Rowley just had a poor pass at the end. Floyd capitalized on it. But, I mean, Portland's a scrappy team. Is there anything to worry about with Arizona? Liz or Mikey going into this game against San Jose, who the last time Arizona played them, they lost, snapping their 14-game winning streak?
I think they're comparable to Pittsburgh. Just what we've been talking about, that down the road in the season, they really struggled. They lost 3 of 4 after going 14-0 to start the season, which is, of course, was the best win streak ever in a regular season. So I think they showed kind of signs of being vulnerable, and Nick Davila wasn't sort of being as crisp as he was in the beginning of the season. So I think you're absolutely going to – I mean, that's a tough matchup for them when they were down 55-0 against San Jose through 3 quarters last time out. So, I mean, this is definitely – if you're Arizona, they'll never say it. Kevin Guy will still be pumping up his team, and they won't show any signs that maybe they are worried. But I know they are worried about this matchup. They know that they have been playing very well, and they should beat Portland by more than 4, and especially they shouldn't have been losing that late in the game.
I also think that says a lot about the Portland team. I did have the opportunity to talk to Coach last week, and I think that he, as well as I am, after seeing this game, I don't think anyone expected this game to be as hard on the Rattlers as it was. But I think they went out there, gave it their all, and I'm really excited for what they're going to do in their second year.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's worth noting, in the second to last game of the season, Portland traveled to Arizona and only lost by 10 points, which is, I mean, compared to their first matchup when Portland lost by over 30 points, I think that says something about Coach Sock and the transformation he's done there. They've gone from a bashful group of young players to some refined veterans. I mean, even with, you know, they've had a lot of turnover on the roster with Eric Rogers going to the CFL and only playing 9 games, but he was a flash in the pan in those 9 games. The veteran leadership of Kyle Rowley under center was definitely noticed. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, Coach Sock did a great job, and, yeah, it's been a great transformation up in Portland. And, you know, with Arizona going up against San Jose, they definitely have some issues they have to work out, but Coach Guy is definitely a good enough coach to see those issues and figure out ways to eradicate those issues. Now I'm going to send it over to Jenny Ruddy with the AFL Minute, a look at some news that's happening around the league.
Here with your AFL Minute, I'm Jenny Ruddy. Here are the AFL headlines this week. Gladiators and Rattlers fans, your teams are hosting the conference finals this weekend. And the Arena Football League is joining with league social media partner Live Crowds to fill up the arenas with the groundbreaking new smartphone Strobe. Just download the free Live Crowds AFL app from the Apple App Store or the mobile web app from livecrowds.com. And your smartphone screen will turn into a custom strobe featuring team colors and logos. Then, at the game, take a quick 5-second video of your group using the strobe and email the video to afl@livecrowds.com for a chance to win official league t-shirts, Arena Bowl programs, and more great prizes. Get into the action with AFL Live Crowd Smart Strobe.
All right, thank you, Jenny. I'm going to bring Liz and Mikey back to go over some of the keys to victory and key matchups going into the conference championship. First off, in our first game, we have Cleveland and Orlando. Bernard Morris, as mentioned before, could possibly be the hottest quarterback in the league right now, going up against one of the more formidable defenses in the league. Liz, something's got to give here. Bernard Morris against this Cleveland defense. What do you see happening on Sunday?
Honestly, I don't know if Cleveland can survive if they don't shut down Morris. He brought 4 touchdowns to the Predators last week. He obviously is lighting up the field, and if it's not shut down, then that's the end of the road for them.
Yeah, and I mean, his ability to scramble definitely has to, you know, you can't rest on your laurels if you're the Cleveland defense. You gotta be alert of that. I mean, even if you get pressure, he can evade at least the first tackler and either take off running or find a lane to throw it.
That only adds to his talent, and I think that they've really got to focus on that and not lose sight of that, and even if they do get ahead of him, mm-hmm. they can't forget that he's still always a threat.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what makes Morris special. I mean, a lot of times scrambling quarterbacks will come into the league, and their scrambling abilities are kind of neutralized, namely Darren Thomas on Portland, but Morris is able to still use his running abilities as an advantage and still be able to get the ball down the field and not be too hung up on one of those aspects. And I think actually Bernard Morris doesn't like to be able to run. He would prefer to throw it. It's just an ability that he has and uses it well, but he's definitely a pass-first type of quarterback, which is key in this league. You can't be taken off the field too tight. Now, last game, the last matchup between Arizona and San Jose, it was definitely a battle in the trenches. I think that's what really decided the outcome of that game. The San Jose D-line just got so much pressure on the two Arizona quarterbacks, Jason Marietta and Nick Davila, Jason Stewart, Francis Maka, Joe Sykes, who that was in one of his first games since coming back this season. And he's more ready for this game, you know, more mid-season form, so Mikey, do you see the San Jose D-line dominating again against Arizona, or what do you see coming in going into this game?
Well, it's a matchup of the best offensive line, the best defensive line in the league, so it's pretty interesting. I don't really think there's any way that you completely stop San Jose's defensive line right now. I mean, they're just too good. The Jason Stewart with 3.5 sacks, that's absolutely ridiculous to put up those kind of numbers in the playoffs.
Especially against Eric Meyer.
I mean, that's just shocking to me. Yeah. Someone like Eric Meyer, who I think is actually more mobile than Dabler, really. And so,
definitely.
Yeah, so just get it, and especially bigger, too, and just someone who's, he had 20 rushing touchdowns this season, just to be able to get him that many times was pretty surprising. And I think it was absolutely the reason why they won that game. And I think that's something that's really intimidating for Arizona's offense, just knowing that they're going to be pressured by that defensive line. They're going to get hit hard. I mean, even when it's not a sack, there's a lot of things that the stats aren't going to show. There's, of course, quarterback hurries, but there's going to be a lot of hits after the play that, although you don't really pay that much attention to it, you know, that takes a toll on their bodies. And I think that's going to be really something interesting to see, is the offensive line of Arizona against San Jose's defensive line, because they're really both the best in the game on each side.
Yeah, and I mean, San Jose was able to bring Davila down three separate times in their last meeting, and Davila was the least sacked quarterback in the league, so, I mean, one more has to be said there. So.
I think it does help that they got to see the best of San Jose, and they know how good they can be, so they're not going to be as overconfident heading to the matchup. I mean, they know what can happen. If they're not ready, it was 55-0 last time, so I'm sure that they have a chip on their shoulder this time that will sort of make them take them more seriously.
Okay. Now, going back to Liz with the Cleveland-Orlando game, it's been noted a couple times Shane Austin had a rough outing last week against Philadelphia with the 5 interceptions. Obviously, you can't win by throwing 5 interceptions. It's just not all right.
No, it's
not okay. You just can't do that. It's very lucky that he came out of that with a victory. How does Shane Austin bounce back? Because also, I mean, last week was his first career playoff start. He looked a little unsettled in the pocket. He was making throws that he normally wouldn't make from what we've seen of Austin this year. So how does he bounce back in his biggest professional game of his career?
He really just has to refocus and reset. He really can't make those mistakes again, because Orlando will not let the Gladiators win this time.
And rely on the guys like Dominic Goodman, who have been there all year. It's been a staple to that offense. And
the players are there, and the plays are there. He just has to be the commander of it all.
Yeah, Cleveland is kind of a young team. They don't have too much playoff experience. I mean, even though Dominic Goodman has been around for so many years, he's only played in a handful of playoff games. So, you know, the postseason inexperience is definitely there. And they're going up against a pretty veteran Orlando team. I mean, Bernard Morris has been in the last two conference championships with Jacksonville. So Orlando definitely has some pieces there. And Cleveland just can't let their youth show. Now, going back to the Arizona-San Jose game, you know, Arizona's got amazing receivers, Tyson Poots, Rod Windsor, Kerry Reed. San Jose's got amazing I mean, just on paper, the matchups with the San Jose-Arizona game are just a lot of fun to think about, you know, with San Jose DBs, Ken Hyland, David Hyland, Ken Fontenette, Cleavon Thomas. So, like I said, somebody's got to give here. What do you see with these matchups?
Yeah, well, San Jose's defensive backs are just ridiculous. Just to have Cleavon Thomas and Ken Fontenette, is just, those are two tremendous guys.
Yeah, and David Hyland had two picks last week.
Yeah, so that just shows they're really three deep at defensive back. And Arizona, of course, you know the situation with their wide receivers. Just obviously that has a lot to do with Davila, obviously being a tremendous quarterback. But at the same time, Rod Windsor led the league with 44 receiving touchdowns. And they also have Kerry Reed, who's just a very, very versatile player. And he's really their fourth best wide receiver. So it just shows you how deep they are at the receiver
position. And, one of the big advantages that Arizona has always had over teams is their depth, their receiver. You know, Windsor's having a bad game, Poots steps up. Poots is having a bad game, Kerry Reed steps up. And any of those guys could be a starting receiver on any team in this league. So that's one of the advantages that they've had. And that's what makes this matchup against San Jose so interesting, because they can go toe-to-toe with them with any receiver, with any DB that they have. Because just as deep as Arizona is with receivers, San Jose is just as deep with defensive backs.
Yeah, I think
and no other team is like that.
I mean, I think without a doubt, these are the two most talented teams left in the postseason. I mean, whether they're able to make it to the Arena Bowl or not, I think just looking on paper, I mean, these two teams have just talent up and down the roster. I mean, as you said, just that we talked about how this is the best O-line versus the best D-line. This is also the best receivers against the best defensive backs. So it's really going to be probably the most interesting game to see. And just you got to hope that Arizona just sort of has a chip on their shoulder from last time out, and we don't see the blowout that we got last time. But I think this is going to be a very interesting game with two teams that have just so much talent. And I feel like there's a little bit of rivalry against them. Just there's going to be a little bit of bad blood just with just having to face each other that many times. And I think it'll be a very physical game, but at the same time, a really fun game to watch.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's a lot of connections there. Coach Kevin Guy was the San Jose defensive coordinator from 2006 and 2007, winning the Arena Bowl in 2007. Coach Red Bett, the San Jose fullback, Odie Armstrong, was on the last two Arena Bowl teams with Arizona, so there's definitely a lot of connections there. There's going to be no love lost there. I think that's safe to say. All right, thank you. And moving on, we're going to kind of discuss who we think is going to win. I'm going to bring Connor Gomer in for this. Go over, you know, just who comes out of the conference championship week. So I guess, you know, just open question here, guys. Who wins? Who advances? Why? You know, it's cut and dry at this point. Four teams left. Two teams will advance. Two teams will play in the Arena Bowl. Who do we like to play in Arena Bowl 27? I'll open the floor to anybody.
Yeah, I'm going to start it off with picking up a pretty big upset. I think Orlando's going to move past Cleveland. As crazy as that sounds, just with an 18-1 Cleveland squad being in Cleveland, and just as you were saying earlier, it almost seems as if they're destined to at least reach the Arena Bowl with just how crazy their season has been. But Bernard Morris has just been absolutely amazing. If he played the full season, I think you could be looking at an MVP season. He's really that good, and especially just considering that he wasn't even playing football, then all of a sudden he decides to come back and just being that good right away.
And he wasn't even the starter when he came back.
Yeah, Boltis was, but Boltis came down with a shin injury, and that's really what gave him the upper hand to be the starter. And he's just been absolutely ridiculous as of late, because I think he's really just taken him a couple weeks to sort of get back to form, and now he's at the point where he's better than he's ever been, even during his tremendous years at Jacksonville. And he has that playoff experience. I talked to him about that this week, and he reached the last two conference championships with Jacksonville, and he lost both times to the Philadelphia Souls, so he has that experience. Although he hasn't reached the Arena Bowl yet, I think that kind of has made him more hungry, just experiencing losing in the conference championships two times in a row has kind of made him want it so much, and he's been such a great leader to this rookie-laden team, and I think this is the time where Cleveland's magical run comes to an end.
So Morris finally gets over that conference championship hump. He's lost the last two, lost in that the last 2 years with Jackson.
At least he's not going into Philadelphia Soul, so that's a step up.
Yeah, that's true. And then on the other side of the the bracket, who do you like in the National Conference?
Yeah, it's another upset here, not as big of one, but I think San Jose is going to reach the Arena Bowl just I mean, you can't just forget what they did last time against Arizona. They were absolutely amazing. And I think Nathan Stanley's been the key for them. As much as we always talk about San Jose's defense, Nathan Stanley has really come to his own as a quarterback in the AFL, even though he's a rookie. And I think that speaks a lot to how good he has been, that Russ McNew was actually taken off the injured reserve last week before the playoff game. So he's available to play right now. And Russ McNew is just a tremendous quarterback. He was great this season when he did play. That just speaks to how good Stanley's been, that he's going to stay in there until the end. And he's been really great, really efficient. Maybe not as prolific as some of the other quarterbacks we see in the football league, but he really takes care of the ball, makes the right plays, and he's just been terrific for them.
I mean, it's kind of a funny thought, and it's just amazing, you know, almost like the rich get richer in a sense. I mean, how many quarterbacks at Iowa and L.A. go through? San Jose loses its starter. They bring up Nathan Stanley. The offense doesn't even skip a step.
I think it's easy for a lot of teams to go after those experienced quarterbacks, such as a J.J. Rattering, and think, okay, I'm going to just plug him in, and he's going to do a good job. And it doesn't always work out that way. Sometimes it's good to just get that homegrown talent.
Maybe develop.
And that unproven talent. Sort of what
Favorite Cat's way.
Yeah, and sort of what Shane Alston also done this season. He wasn't a proven quarterback either. So sometimes that's the best way to go, is just to develop talent and see what happens.
All right. Do we have any disagreements with what Mikey was going about there?
I'm actually going to disagree with him on both games here. I mean, if you look at the
Contrarian Connor.
Oh, yeah. If you look at the Arizona-San Jose matchup, let's just look at Arizona. I mean, they're looking to win their third Arena Bowl in a row here. They have one of the best quarterbacks in professional football right now, and that's Nick DeVia. And I think he's going to just come out firing on Sunday, and I don't think San Jose is going to be able to slow him down, no matter how many great defensive linemen they have.
Keep in mind, he didn't even play in the second half last time they played. I think he was only 8-for-22 in the first half of that game. So
I mean, you know, even the best have their off days, but I think the playoff time is where Nick DeVia has proven himself, and I think that's what he's going to do this weekend. And I don't think he'll have to sit out at all this coming weekend, because I think he's going to be on fire.
There'll be a Jason Marietta sighting, I'll call it.
Fair enough.
And then who do you like in the other matchup there?
I mean, I gotta take Cleveland. I gotta take my boys.
I've
been
a bigger Gladiator fan this year than you.
I mean, I've been saying it since week one. I've liked the Cleveland roster. They've been 1-0 each week, except for that one fall against Pittsburgh, and I think they're going to be 1-0 this weekend against Orlando. I think Bernard Morris, while he's very dynamic and he does get the job done week in and week out, I think the best chance of stopping him right now is the Cleveland secondary and the Cleveland linemen, and I don't see why Shane Alston can't kind of forget that five-interception game he threw last weekend. Maybe he'll just forget that, throw it behind him.
I think it might have honestly been good for him, just so, like, it was basically the worst game he could have possibly had, and they still won, so, like, he sort of knows his team has his back.
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, it can't get much worse than five interceptions in the same game, especially the first round of the playoffs.
As long as Rayshon Kaiser isn't on the other side.
Yeah, exactly.
Rayshon Kaiser's still on the field. Still on the field in Cleveland.
I think that Cleveland is going to come out on top. I think that they can bounce back. I think Shane Alston just needs to refocus, get back to where he has been in the past. I understand he threw those five interceptions, but at the same time, he also brought the team five touchdowns, three in rushing and then two in passing. In the other game, I think that San Jose will win, so I'm going to go with Mikey on that. I think that that they can really shut down Arizona on the field and go to the Arena Bowl.
So nobody likes a rematch of Arena Bowl 8, Arizona, Orlando?
No,
those are the only few. Those are the only matchups that nobody was able to pick there.
I think we all just want another a different Arena Bowl. So we all are kind of wanting that fresh new matchup.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the underdog in Cleveland. I really think that, I mean, Orlando has been to postseason 21 out of the 23 seasons that they've played. So
yeah, it's definitely a dominant. I mean, yeah, it would be cool to see the Gladiators complete this magical season and make their first trip to the Arena Bowl. I mean, with, no, that's
making
definitely
history.
Yeah.
It is weird that they're an 18-1 team and we feel that they're an underdog.
I mean,
they really are.
I was talking about this with a friend actually yesterday because he was asking me, like, you know, what's going on with the Arena League, and I was telling him, you know, conference championships this week, and he's a big NFL fan, not an AFL fan per se. And I was listening to him down. I'm like, we got an 18-1 Cleveland Gladiators who set the league record for regular season wins going up against the Orlando Predators, who arguably are the hottest team in the league right now with the hottest quarterback. So Cleveland's going into this game as underdogs. And we got Arizona, who's back-to-back Arena Bowl champion, defending champions, going up against San Jose, who's the last team who beat Arizona to snap their 14-game winning streak. So, I mean, I was saying these storylines to him, and he was like...
Yeah,
it's a lot going on. Yeah, this isn't like your average run-of-the-mill conference championship week. You know, we got a...
Yeah, I think all four teams...
There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of moving parts, a lot of storylines. You know, anything can happen, you know, Ellie Golden. And I'm going to introduce my next interview here. I was able to sit down with the defensive back, the star defensive back for the Arizona Rattlers, Marquise Floyd, who... was the savior last week, coming up with the late interception on Kyle Rowley to seal the victory for the Rattlers. First off, congratulations on making it back to the National Conference Championship game.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, you were kind of the savior of the last game against Portland with the last-second interception. What were your takeaways from the Portland game?
I thought Portland played good. You know, they've been playing better football since Kyle Rowley been their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But as a team perspective of the game, I thought we had too many penalties that we gotta minimize in order to advance to the Arena Bowl.
Okay. And obviously, your last game against San Jose, they snapped your winning streak. What did you guys learn from that game against San Jose in June?
We just learned that we gotta come out and we gotta play our best football. I thought that defensively, San Jose played a perfect game.
Mm-hmm.
They played one of their best games on defense all year long. And you know, we gotta come out and, you know, not necessarily take teams lightly, but we gotta come out and we gotta try to put together a complete and perfect game, offensively and defensively.
Okay. And obviously, their rookie quarterback, Nathan Stanley, hasn't really looked like a rookie in the games that he's played in. How do you rattle him or, you know, shake his confidence in this game?
You know, I think we got to give him a couple of different looks. We don't look at them as rookies that after three games that they start. So we don't look at them as rookies.
Okay.
We look at them as, you know, veterans of the Arena Football game, and he's been playing good so far. So we got to go out and compete and challenge their receivers a little more, and try to have him throw in tight windows.
Okay. Now finish this sentence for me. The Arizona Rattlers advance to the Arena Bowl if
we come out and play Rattlers football and protect the pit.
Okay, what is define Rattlers football for me.
Rattlers football is, you know, physical, fast, and just a high intensity level. Rattler football to me, and if I want to explain it in one word, it's physical football.
Okay.
Both offensively and defensively.
Alrighty. Rattler football has obviously been working in the past, so it'll be interesting to see if it works this week.
Alright, man.
Alright, well, I'll let you go, Marquise, but I want to thank you for talking with me.
Oh, yeah. Anytime.
I want to thank all my correspondents, Liz Wentz, Mikey Wansifer, and Connor Gomer, as well as defensive back Marquise Floyd, who was able to sit down and talk with me. And thank you for all of our listeners out there. We really appreciate it. It's been a great season. You know, we're coming to the end. but there's still a lot of great football left, a lot of excitement left in this 27th season of the Arena Football League. So make sure to tune in on Sunday for the conference championship games. I am Chris Hopkins, and I am signing off. Thank you.